put me to chapter 15 of Revelation. Chapter 15 of the book of Revelation. One of our volunteers mentioned this morning that, are we going to go home early? I asked him why. He said, well, you only have 8 verses. Don't hold your hopes up, okay? I'm going to get your money worth. In 1994, let's start. 1994, there was a big earthquake. It happened in Southern California. The starting point was, the original point is northwest of Los Angeles, around the Hollywood area. That's the area of Northridge, Chatsworth, and Canoga Park. That place is known for soft and hard pornography industry. There are 70 major pornography industry studios and distributors located in around that area. When the earthquake hit that area, there were $3 billion pornography industry was shocked, and they thought that God's personal judgment against them is happening in that wicked city, probably the most wicked city in the United States. And they even felt, especially the one, the VCA pictures. If you type up the VCA pictures in Google, you will find what kinds of wretched people they are. And this VCA pictures, they are the major distributor, major producer of the hard and the soft porn in the United States and around the world, and they are the ones who damaged most. All their equipment went down, as well as the film, original film, and the copies. And those executives and some of these actors and actresses thought this is personal judgment from God, and they were edged. And also the executive at the World Marketing of San Fernando Valley agency that supplies all the actors and actresses for these pornography movies, all of a sudden they cannot find people who want to do the movies. Before, they didn't have a problem finding them. As a matter of fact, they could pick and choose. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's backing out. And he said, our client have a definite lack of motivation, and the agents for the porn actors who request no identity revealed, it put the fear of God in them. I'm telling you, it was enough to give you an attack of religion. And the producer of the director of this pornography movie, one of them says, can you imagine how the fundamentalists are going to lip on this when the smoke clears? They will say it is God's retribution. Guess what, buddy? You haven't seen anything yet. Judgment is yet to come. This is just preview. As a matter of fact, that's a very sneak preview. Small portion. By the way, that was 1994. After 10 years, $3 billion industry grew up to be, guess how much? $14 billion. $14 billion. That is the fastest growing industry in the United States. Better than Microsoft, better than any other NASDAQ stocks. If you're the one investor, how would you like to invest into the company grows from $3 billion to the $14 billion in 10 years. That's a 400 times increase. I'm not encouraging you to invest money on the pornography industry. So let's make that thing clear. Where am I going with this? Yes, God is God of love. Yes, God is God of mercy. However, God has a patience. God's love has no bound. God's mercy renews every morning. However, his patience has a limit. Someday he said, enough is enough. And he will judge. And that judgment time will be known as tribulation. Let's pray before we go. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word we are about to receive. We are asking your word to be known to us And let us understand your glory. Let us understand your wrath. You do not hate sinners. You hate sinners' sins. And asking your forgiveness for this one who speaks, and for, because his sins are many. And let us open our heart to understand your way according to your wisdom. Pray this in Jesus' name. And also we lift up our soldiers around the world. We are asking you to touch their lives and their lives be changed. And we also lift up all the law enforcement officers around all the different agencies. We are asking you to keep them safe. And somehow, we may be able to touch their lives and bring them to Christ closer than ever before. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse 1 of chapter 15, Revelation. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. At this point, Apostle John is seeing the seven angels holding the seven bowls, or some of you, King James Version, will say vials. And their bowls contain God's wrath. And they are ready for the action. This wicked world is about to drink the wrath of God and the full force, and now there won't be anything left behind. And we studied that in last chapter. Before these angels pour these things out, there's a heavenly interlude again. God's giving us a little break, and He's allowing us to see what's happening in heaven. And before the third wars, which is seven bowls of judgment coming down. Chapter 14 seems like it's a consumption of all things and a preview of the Battle of Armageddon. We had a little preview. Now, as I said before, God is showing us how faithful He is through this glimpse of the heavenly area. It's hard for the Western mind to think that way because we like to say everything in chronological order. Let me go back to the story and we start to restate the whole thing. However, Hebrew people are different people. The Middle Eastern people say something kind of roughly and then they go back. They restate the whole thing again in more detail. And then sometimes they go back in more details. So that's a Hebrew literature style, and especially prophecy is written that way. In chapter 15, God is saying, I have been patient with a human being. It's enough. Now that their depravity is done, so I'm going to judge you guys. Let's go to, keep your finger right there, chapter 15 of Genesis, please. In case you cannot find Genesis is away in the front. If you find the index, you went too far. Chapter 15 and 13 and chapter 15, verse 13, please. Then he said to Abram, who is Abraham later, know certainly that your descendant will be stranger in the land that is not theirs, and you will serve them. And they will afflict them 400 years, which is he's talking about Egyptian people. And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. And afterward, they will come out of with their great possessions. Now, as for you, you will go to your fathers in peace. You shall be buried at good old age. But in fourth generation, they shall return here for... Underline next phrase, please. Iniquity of the Amorites is not yet complete. Iniquity of Amorites is not yet complete. While the Israel was held captive in Israel for 400 years, God is giving them ample opportunity to repent. Opportunity after opportunity to repent. So they can make their lives correct with God. However, they didn't. So what God is doing is not cruel, not fair. As a matter of fact, they had enough chance to repent. Last, in my opinion, about 50 years, from the end of 1950s, where the hippie movement started, and through the 1970, 1980, and now we are in year 2004, America went from the bad to worse. If you don't agree with me, just watch TVs. Watch movies. Any four-letter words that we hear on R-rated movie cannot be even fathomed. The word damn was mentioned out of a Clark Cable. So if you remember his name, and if you know his name, what he looked like, you're old as me. Clark Cable said word damn word. And the whole newspaper, whole media went berserk. Remember that? However, now the word damn is nothing. PG-13 movie used four-letter words. That was belonged to R-rated movies. Now it's down to PG-13. Pretty soon it will go down to PG. So the movie my wife and I end up watching is a children's movie. Kind of sad. But it's going from bad to worse. This is a case in point with these Amorite people. They had the opportunity to repent and get right with God, but they did not. God extended His mercy for 400 years. Time is up. God is bringing these Israeli people back to the promised land and to judge these Amorite people through Israeli people. You find in chapter 20, verse 17 in Deuteronomy, that God is speaking to Joshua, destroy the Amorite, Hittite, and the Canaanite, and Perizzite, and Hivite, and Jebusite. And all these people, why? Why he's telling Joshua to destroy them? Because they served idol, they denounced God. And you might say, well, they did not know Jehovah God. May I remind you, in their heart, they know Jehovah God. Romans chapter 1. Whole creation speaks a volume about His existence and the power. We studied that last study. I came to this point because people who read the Bible casually, once in a blue moon, and they come to church and once in a blue moon, and they get to hear this kind of conversation, the teaching, and God told Joshua and Israeli people to destroy everyone in this promised land. And they said, well, that's cruel. How do I know? Because I used to think that way when I was a baby Christian, including infant baby. Why do they want that God want to kill those infant baby? Because they have to be eliminated. So there won't be any trace of this idol worship. However, guess what the Israeli people did? They let them stay in the midst of them. As I said before, America's time of repentance is up. We will go more in detail. But in the book of Revelation, you find Asia, you find Europe mentioned. However, as big as this United States is, it's not a word to be mentioned. Why? In my opinion, because America will not be existing. If I'm going to kind of make your mind scared a little bit. If I'm the terrorist, if I'm Osama bin Laden, I would get the 5 nuclear bombs. By the way, the nuclear bombs from the Soviet arsenal is not countable because they don't know exactly where they are. And if I can get my hands on the 5 nuclear bombs, suitcase nuclear bombs, I would put one in Washington, D.C., and one in New York City, Los Angeles, Dallas, and Chicago, and blow them up at the same time. Do you think there will be the United States? Wall Tower went down, and our economy went through the havoc. Do you think our economy can survive? No. Pretty soon, it will be the independent state, independent country of Arizona. Each state will declare the sovereignty. Or maybe Mexico will take over. And some of you are thinking that I didn't come to church to hear this kind of depressing thing. Face the fact, guys. That's one possibility. Second possibility is maybe God has extended His mercy. And we get to know Jesus Christ, that we might be used by God to spread the good news to the people, and there will be the one last revival in America, and people come to know Jesus Christ, and the rapture happen, majority of American people gone. Amen. I hope that's the case. However, there's imminent danger, and the end time is very, very near. Are you ready? Let's go to the verse 2. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those, underline, those who have victory over the beast, over his image, over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harp of God. The image from the Exodus, in the book of Exodus, is all over in this chapter. Now, in my opinion, this is the ultimate Exodus we find in the freedom of God's people from the sinful and dying world. I ask you to underline those who have a victory over the beast. These people, they won the victory over the Antichrist. These are the tribulation martyred saint. And some of you are thinking, hey preacher, wait a minute. They lost. They died. That is our thinking. However, let me make this very clear to you guys. If we stand on the Word of God, if we keep our faith in God, even if we lose our lives, this earthly life, we have not lost battle. Do you hear me? The true fight is not a matter of the life and death of this human body. Somebody calculate the human body is about 29 cents. I don't know if that's a real accurate price or not. Probably I'm about 13 cents or 14 cents, and some of you guys a little more. True victory in Christ Jesus has nothing to do with the life or death. If that's all matters to you, then you better have a physical healing all the time. God does not allow some of us to have a physical healing. I've seen precious saints going to heaven, only. Does it mean they lost? No, they did not lose. As a matter of fact, they finished well. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 26 and 27. I know it's not on here, but let's go there. This is just side story and no extra for you guys. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 9, 26 and 27, please. Okay. 26 says, therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beat the air, but I discipline my body and bring it to the subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. The last thing I have in mind is disqualifying myself because I don't stand on the word of God. Another verse is 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. I know I'm driving the poor guy, the Willy nut, by coming up with extra verses. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8. I hope this is all of us declaring, finally, Apostle Paul speaking, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day, not to me only, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Folks, that should be us. Amen. Stay in the course, not disqualifying ourselves. Nobody can disqualify us except ourselves. Stay in the course. When we stay in the course all the way to our last breath, that is the victory. Forget about this little human body because you will have a better body. We don't have to worry about the weight control. We don't have to worry about low carb control, all of that stuff. Many Bible students believe that this architecture of the glass standing over the, sea of glass, that is a literal word, the representation of a literal word. All right, this word, can you put the slide, the lever on for me, please? Some of you remember this study done when we did the tabernacle study. This lever is located between bronze burnt altar and the holy place. Before you go into the holy place, the tabernacle inside, this is where they wash their hands before the sacrifice. Before they go into the holy place, they have to wash their hands. All the priest has to do that. If they don't wash their hands in the water of this lever, bronze ball, they cannot do anything. This represents the Word. The Word is known as the living water. Holding tank. This is the Bible where we read. If you stand in the Word and the water, this is a glass of sea they're representing. And that's where we get known to having washing our hands, washing our bodies. We're rinsing our body, cleansing our body with the Word of God. Spiritual body. Let's continue in verse 3 of chapter 15. They sing song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "The great and marvelous are your works, and the Lord Almighty, just and true are you, your ways, and the King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, glorify your name, and for you alone are holy, and all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgment has been manifested." If you notice, I've been emphasizing word "your" and "you." For four times, you see that your word "your," and three times your word "you" is mentioned. These people are not concerned about their sacrifice, their body, their death. But they are concerned about one thing in their heart. Guess who that is? God. God the Father. If you notice that they sang the song of Moses, the servant of God Most High, and the song of the Lamb. Doesn't mean two songs, but if you read that thing in context, it said a song. So in other words, there's one song with the two titles. Listen to me, please. Song of Moses representing the law of God. The Song of the Lamb representing love of God through Jesus Christ. Old Testament and New Testament coming into union beautifully. That's what they're singing. Singing of redemption as well as singing the song of God, song of Jesus. When we read the book of Exodus, I find several typology that I have to mention. Egypt is representing the world we left. So if you're born again Christian, that's the world you left. That's the world you were living in before. The place they did not have hope. The place did not have peace. And also the 2 million people, to Israeli people who left Egypt is the one who is representing us and lived, people on the earth who lived, have lived and are living and will live on this earth. And the Pharaoh is the one who want to put us in the bondage continuously. He is the representing Satan. He wants to be in his slavery. And Moses is representing Jesus Christ who take us to the promised land and leading us to the path of righteousness. And the wilderness that this Israeli people went through is the place we have to decide whether we want to serve God or reject God. And Joshua and Caleb, two people out of 2 million people, one in the 1 million hearts, these two people went into promised land. And the rest of them who left Egypt with Joshua and Caleb all died on the wilderness. And they are the ones who accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And the promised land represents the spirit-filled life of obedience. Does it mean there is no fight? Yes, there is a fight. Does it mean that everything is hunky-dory? Absolutely not. There is a failure. However, we will recover because of obedience to the Word of God. If we don't have a Word of God, we cannot fight back. Everyone is invited, but not everyone wants to will come. And only few accept the invitation of God by faith, just like the Joshua and Caleb did. Some of you accepted this invitation and walking with Christ. Some of you said no to the invitation. I will give you the invitation again at the end of the study. The thing gives us a great assurance and endurance and suffering saint. This is book of Revelation is just to tell us about the future, but is written for those who are under persecution to give them hope, to give them strength, and how it's going to be end. And they are the ones who stay in the course. Not everyone had to receive the mark of beast and stay on and go on with the miserable life. And we don't have to live on the temptation. To my surprise, we don't have to take the temptation. Temptation itself is not a sin. However, bite of the temptation is a sin. Nobody can make you do sin. We visited this before. If you are living in sin, I'm going to make it very clear to you, you made a choice. God did not make you do living in sin. Satan did not make you do living in sin. You choose to living in sin. I choose to living in sin. Nobody can make us do anything. We are free will agent. We decide our own mind. Verse 5. After these things, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels, having the seven plagues, that clothed in pure, bright linen, and having their chest girded with a golden band. Exodus 25, verse 8, please. Exodus 25. Exodus is located in the second book of the Old Testament. Exodus 25, verse 8. And let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them according to all that I saw, that is, the pattern of the tabernacle and the pattern of all furnishings. So, just so you shall make it. What pattern? We have a pattern in heaven. The earthly tabernacle is a carbon copy of what we have in earth, heavenly area. Let's go to the Hebrews chapter 8, verse 9. Hebrews is right before James in the New Testament. Hebrews chapter 8, verse 9. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, because they did not continue in my covenant, I disregarded them, saith the Lord. See, the following is because they did not follow God, and the covenant he made is gone down the drain because their choice. Seven angels bring the God's judgment and straight from the temple of a holy God. That means it's God's permission, God's authority. And they are not acting according to their own authority, but God's authority. Their clothing is pure and white linen. That shows a purity, and that shows that God's judgment is always pure and righteous. And they have the girdle with a golden band around the chest. In Bible, gold signifies the deity of Jesus Christ. So it is representing deity. And their chest is girded with a golden band. That means they're close to their heart. And the deity of Jesus Christ. And purity. And God is not judging them with the cruelty. However, God is judging them because he loved them. Let's continue verse 7. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. And the temple who was filled with the smoke and the glory of God and from the, his power. And no one, underline next phrase please, no one was able to enter the temple until till seven plagues of seven angels were completed. If you have a new King Jimmy version, this will say instead of bow, it said vial. That's, as a matter of fact, a very poor translation, but vial is usually a small size container. Bowl they are using is flat like it was what you saw, the lever. It's a big one, and it's half, like a half disc. That's what they use, and it's broad, and it can be quickly poured out. We read this portion that the temple was filled with the smoke from the glory of God. Does it bring you to remembrance and about what happened in Exodus chapter 40? The tabernacle was filled with the smoke, and nobody could enter into tabernacle because God's presence is there. Isaiah chapter 6 verse 1 says Isaiah is looking in the throne of God, and he said he saw the God most high and lifted up in the train of robes filled the temple with his glory. And when David prayed after, King Solomon prayed, and after he dedicated the temple, and the smoke of a cloud of glory of God came down so strong, the priests could not stand, so they all fall down prostrate and on the floor. I'm sure some of you experienced when we worship God with a sincere heart, you can feel the thickness, the presence of God. It only comes from one way, not with a good song, not with a great worship team. It comes from your heart. If it comes from your heart to him with a true worship, God will make himself known to you and me. All right, both bowls and the cloud represent the glory and power of God. And it is his reminder, his special presence is glory. I ask you to underline, no one was able to enter the temple until the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. This means God says it cannot be reversed. The judgment starts now. The third and the last plague, the woes, will start. Seven judgments is happening. When a lamb repeatedly wanders away from the shepherds, and that shepherd will do something special. He carried the staff and the rod, and he used the staff and the rod to break the lamb's leg. You may say, that sounds cruel. The poor, precious lamb, you break his leg? He does. And he wrapped that leg with a bandage. And then on top of all, he carried the lamb on the back of his shoulder with each leg hanging down. He carried the lamb for 5 to 6 weeks. This is what they do in Hebrew, in Jewish people, Israel. So the awake potential away the animal will be on the shepherd's back for 5 to 6 weeks. Something special thing get transpired during the 5 to 6 weeks. After the 5 to 6 weeks, the shepherd put the lamb down on the ground. It's, the leg is strong enough to hold the weight up again. You know what the lamb does? It does not go away from the shepherd. Not because he's afraid of another broken leg, but he is attached to the shepherd. Let me put that thing in our term. When we try to run away from God, when we try to sin against God, guess what it does? Because he loves us, he breaks our bone. He hurt us. He gave us trials and tests. He allowed us to go through the difficult time. Not every trial and test is because of punishment. Let's make that thing clear. When we go against the word of God, when we go against his desire, He loves us enough to He chastise us. He breaks our leg and He carries us on His back. And when we are strong enough, He put us down again. And because we learned from the past experience, we get attached to our Lord and Savior. We stay close to Him. So if you are going through a difficult time, take a hope in your heart. Take a courage. Because God loves you, He allowed that difficult time to come to you, to strengthen you, to make you better. So you can be attached to Him, so you can be close to Him. It's mind-boggling concept, and our idea is that's not acceptable. Just go get it. Be a go-getter. More the better. But God says the less the better. Let's a couple of applications. Let's make them. Number one, we must not mistake God's patience for apathy or approval of sin. Just because He is giving us the leash, long leash, allowing us to go through the, you know, our own stupidity, that doesn't mean God says okay to our sin. He is giving us time to repent, like He did to this Amorite for 400 years. He's not going to give us 400 years. There will be time when He said, enough is enough. Amen. Get this, guys. I said this before. God's millstone does not turn fast. However, His millstone grinds exceedingly fine. You don't want to be in God's millstone. I don't want to be in God's millstone. I've been in God's woodshed so often, I have my own name tag on the door. I don't want to go there again. You guys know what I'm talking about because you are the frequent visitor of God's woodshed. Your path is worn out because you went there so often. Do you want to go back there again? I hope not. Second application, even if you go through the terrible time on the earth, we are winners in God's eyes as we stay in the course that God designated for us to, according to His word, the Bible. You are not a loser. The true loser is the one who is rejecting hands of God. Loser. Real loser. Amen. You don't want to be a loser. Stay in the course. Stay in the word. Do what is right in the sight of God instead of do what is in your sight and my sight. Let's stand up and pray.